is June 22nd, 2020, Hillsborough, North Carolina, and today is the Rathi Yatra Day. It's also the day when Shivananda Sen departed this world and Swarup Damodar departed this world. So one can imagine they were departing during Rathi Yatra. You know, you really meditate on that. They were departing during the Rathi Yatra. So I thought rather than singing Ye Ani Lo Premadonna, which maybe you can sing later if you want, that we would sing a song about Lord Jagannath. And I didn't find it in the songbook.
It's not in our songbook.
It's not in our songbook, so it's up there. Prabhupada ki jai. Jagannath Swami ki jai. Swarup Damodar ki jai. Shivananda Sen ki jai. Huh?
Shankaracharya
wrote this song. Just see.
He's
talking about how Lord Shiva is praising Jagannath, right? And there he's manifestation of Lord Shiva praising Jagannath. So today we're going to read from Canto 10, Chapter 17, Text 10. Minam sudukitam drisva dinamina patauhate vipaya sobari praha tatratya kshemam acharam. Please chant. This is June 22nd, 2020 in Hillsborough. Rathi Yatra Day, disappearance day of Shivananda Sen, disappearance day of Swarup Damodar, and we're reading from Bhagavatam 10:17:10. Minan, the fish. Sudukitan, most unhappy. Drisva, seeing. Dinan, wretched. Nina Patel, the Lord of the Fish. Hate, being killed. Rupaya, out of compassion. Sobari, Sobari. Praha, spoke. Tatratya, for those living there. Shemam, the welfare. Acharam, trying to enact. Translation. Seeing how the unfortunate fish in that lake had become most unhappy at the death of their leader, Sobari uttered the following curse under the impression that he was mercifully acting for the benefit of the lake's residents. Purport. In this regard, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that when our so-called compassion does not tally with the order of the Supreme Lord, it merely causes a disturbance. Because Sobari had forbidden Garuda's coming to that lake, Kaliya moved in and made his headquarters there, and this spelled doom for all the lake's residents. So here we have the word shemam. Sobari is trying to take care of the benefit of the fish, and instead of that, all the fish die. All the fish die, Krishnapriya was saying the other day, all the birds die, all the vegetation dies. When I was a little girl, my father used to often say to me, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So good intentions are not enough. Those good intentions have to be dovetailed with the desire of the Lord. They have to tally with the desire of the Lord. Because, you know, we have experience in our life over and over again. We'll do something we think is good and the results are awful. Have we all done that? We thought, this is a good plan. Nope. And sometimes something happens that we think is just awful, and it ends up being wonderful. You know, we're not able to tell on our own intelligence what's actually good and what's bad. But only the Lord and those who are really dovetailed with the Lord can see that. And we're going to notice this with the relationship between Swarup Damodar and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're going to...
Is the microphone working? Yeah.
So we're going to start out, because it's Rathi Yatra Day, we're going to start out with Swarup Damodar and the Rathi Yatra pastimes, and we're not going to talk much about Shivananda Sen today, except simply to say that he would lead all the devotees from Bengal every year to come during the Chaturmasya period. So all the devotees from Bengal would come for Chaturmasya, which includes Rath Yatra. They'd stay for those 4 months, and then they would go back. So these were the devotees who knew Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. Right? They would come, and then they would go back. Some stayed in Navadvip, like we had Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance day. So he stayed in Navadvip because he had taken Kshetra Sannyas. So therefore, when Lord Chaitanya said to everybody else, now you have to go home, he couldn't tell Gadadhar Pandit to go home. Right? Because Gadadhar Pandit would say, well, I can't go back to Navadvip. I've taken Kshetra Sannyas. I have to stay here. But everybody else would go back and forth under the care of Shivananda Sen. And Shivananda Sen was very, his heart was also in sync with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, Sovereign Muni was a great Muni. He was a very realized sage. He had great powers, but his heart wasn't in sync with the Lord. Now, eventually it became so, as Krishna Priya was saying the other day. By the end of his life, he realized and he became dedicated to the Lord and he went back to Godhead. So eventually that may happen, but in the meantime, there may be so much difficulty. And we're going to see that today also in the story of Swarup Damodar. So first we're just going to look at the closeness between Swarup Damodar and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're looking mostly from Madhya 13. And in text 36, it states that Swarup Damodar was chosen as the leader of the first party and was given five assistants to respond to his chanting. The five who responded were Damodar Pandit, Narayana, Govinda Datta, Raghava Pandit, and Govinda Nandana, and Advaitacharya was the dancer. So Mahaprabhu had these different groups at the Rath Yatra, and each group had a lead singer and a lead dancer, which we don't usually do that in this time. We'll have groups by each cart, and there's a lead singer, but we don't usually have a lead dancer also. So Swarup Damodar was chosen that because he was so close to the Lord. And it says that there were nine people. There were seven groups together. And Lord Chaitanya would sometimes dance in the seven groups separately. He'd expand himself, which only like Maharaj Prajaparudra and a few other people could see. And then sometimes he'd combine all the seven groups together. And when the Lord himself wanted to dance, all the seven groups combined together. That's in text 72. And then the Lord's devotees, including Srivas, Ramai, Raghu, Govinda, etc., they all came together. And when the Lord wanted to jump high, he put all these devotees under the care of Swarup Damodar. And the devotees, Swarup Damodar and those in his charge, they would sing along with the Lord and they would run beside him. Okay. Now we're going to go. I'm going to do it here because then it's easier without the purports. Okay. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had performed his devastating dance for some time, his mind entered into a mood of ecstatic love. After abandoning the dancing, the Lord ordered Swarup Damodar to sing. Understanding his mind, Swarup Damodar began to sing as follows. Now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid and was withering away. When this refrain was loudly sung by Swarup Damodar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again began rhythmically dancing in transcendental bliss. The car of Lord Jagannath began to move slowly while the son of Mother Sachi went ahead and danced in front. So you see in traditional Indian dancing, there's often this interplay between the musicians, the singers, and the dancers. It's not usually scripted or choreographed intricately beforehand, but it's often a lot of improvisation like we have in modern jazz. And so there was this interplay between the singing of Swarup Damodar and the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, we're going to move on to text 120. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, his ecstasy changed. Raising his two arms, he began to recite the following verse in a loud voice. Now, this verse that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reciting is said by many of our acharyas to be a mundane song. It was a mundane love song. And people were wondering, you know, why is this sannyasi at the Rath Yatra singing this song? That very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of Malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing for the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover, yet still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Revan under the Vetasi tree. That is my desire. This verse was recited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again, but for Swarup Damodar, no one could understand its meaning. So here we see, although there were many intimate devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar had an especially intimate relationship with the Lord, and that he was able to understand something that nobody else can understand. So I'm going to read one more verse in this chapter, 13. 167. Swarup Damodar used to sing exactly according to the ecstatic emotion of the Lord. Whenever a particular mellow was being tasted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar would personify it by singing. Just imagine. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is tasting a particular combination of rasa. I mean, we talk about there's, you know, 5 primary rasas, 12 secondary rasas, and there's the Vyabhichari rasas, the Vyabhichari babs.
Seven.
12 total. 12 total, sorry. Thank you for the correction. So 12 total, 7 secondary and 5 primary. Then there's the Vyabhichari babs, which bring in different emotions, right? And these things combine in an infinite number. Just like Rupa Goswami describes, 350 groups of gopis in the Ujjwala Nilamani, all according to different varieties of relationships with the Lord. And he says this is just a little indication. You know, frankly, there's as many different varieties of relationships with jivas as there are jivas. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is experiencing these different varieties, Swarup Damodar would be able to understand, and he'd be able to sing the right verse. Imagine that relationship that they were having, his understanding of the Lord. And because of this, Swarup Damodar had a very interesting service. His service was that he had to check whatever poetry or verses or written compositions were brought to the Lord to make sure that it followed proper siddhanta and proper rasa. That it didn't have any rasabasa, it didn't have any improper mixing of rasas, it didn't have anything that was against Vaishnava Siddhanta. And he particularly had this job. You think about, you know, the testers, the taste testers for a king, that they would eat the food to make sure that there's no poison in the food. Of course, then they would often die. So Swarup Damodar wasn't going to die. But the point is that he was testing these verses to make sure that it wouldn't cause a disturbance to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was taking that disturbance on himself. He was willing to be disturbed so that Mahaprabhu wouldn't be disturbed. And we're going to see here the same theme of good intentions. Good intentions that cause a disturbance. I'm going to pick a particular story. This is from the Anjalila chapter 5. This is in text 91 through 154 altogether in the Anjalila. So there was this Bengali Brahmana who came to visit Jagannath Puri. He was friends with Bhagavan Acharya, or he knew Bhagavan Acharya from home, and so he stayed at Bhagavan Acharya's house. And he said, I've written a drama about Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I'd like to read to you. And Bhagavan Acharya was a little hesitant, but after some time, he listened to this drama, and the other devotees listened to this drama, and they said, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. This is a wonderful drama. So Bhagavan Acharya went to Swarup Damodar, and he said, please listen to the drama of this person I know from Bengal. You'll really like it. And Swarup Damodar said, well, I really don't want to. Swarup Damodar was able to tell just by something in the mood of this Bengali Brahmana that anything he wrote would be off. He didn't need to listen to what we all have this experience, right? That someone says, I want to tell you something, and we're just able to pick up that we really don't want to hear anything from this person, right? we had this experience. So Saurabh Dhamma was like, I really don't want to hear it. And Bhagavan Acharya keeps insisting and insisting. At one point, Saurabh Dhamma says, you're a liberal coward boy. You listen to anybody's poetry. And Bhagavan Acharya kept insisting. Finally, Saurabh Dhamma says, okay. If you like it, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's something good. We'll check it out. And there were a lot of other devotees around. So this Bengali Brahmana starts reciting. Right? Saurabh Dhamma said, recite the invocation verse. And he has some verse, something like, you know, that Lord Jagannath is the master of the universe in an immovable wood form, and Lord Chaitanya is the soul of Jagannath. And as the soul of Jagannath, he is bringing dull matter to life. Now, it's very interesting what happens next. Very, very interesting and very instructive for us. So Swarup Damodara then said, would you please explain what you mean? Now, how often in this world are we misunderstood because nobody asks us to explain what we mean? So Swarup Damodara does not jump to a conclusion here about what this Bengali Brahmana means. He says, you please explain. So the Bengali Brahmana gives it his explanation, and Swarup Damodara is horrified. The other devotees, however, were all very happy. Now, we should keep in mind that this Bengali Brahmana, like Sobri Muni in today's verse, his intention was to try to glorify Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya to the best of his knowledge and understanding. He didn't have a bad intention, and we'll see that as this pastime plays out. But Swarup Damodara was horrified. He said, you're an offender. You don't know anything. You're describing Jagannath as a piece of wood, and you're describing Lord Chaitanya as a jiva. And therefore, you committed a great offense. Now, if somebody said that to me in an assembly of devotees and near some old friend of mine, I would probably jump up and defend myself. Or at least I'd want to do that. Yes? I mean, isn't that awful if we're criticized? And what greater criticism can we give somebody? If you think about the greatest criticism you can give somebody in the Hare Krishna movement, it's that you're an offender. You know, you're disloyal to Prabhupada. You're a Mayavadi. That's the worst. And that's what Saurabh Dhamma said to him. He said, you know, you're Mayavadi, you're an impersonalist, you're an offender. And this Bengali Brahmana felt sorry and ashamed. He became humble. Oh, I'm an offender. He accepted it. And that's how we know he actually had good intentions. He accepted this public chastisement, public rebuke from Swarup Damodara. That's a very difficult thing to do. It's a very difficult thing to do. I know Bir Krishna Swami, all the years we lived here, he would sometimes make fun of people in the class. Well, not sometimes, very often. And some people couldn't take it. Some people couldn't take it. Some people were just, they became very angry. Even they were his disciples. That how dare my spiritual master, you know, poke at me in public. It's not an easy thing to do, you know. I mean, sometimes you would do that to me, and I would be like sitting there burning.
Still here.
I'm still here. You know? I'd be thinking, my students are here, my children are here, and he's poking at me in front of my children and students. And I can't say anything in return because he's the guru in the GBC, and I just have to take it. I mean, that's, you know, honestly. So that's our normal tendency because of our false ego, but this Bengali Brahmana did not respond like that. He took it, and it was very heavy, much heavier than anything you ever said to anybody. I mean, it was really heavy. And then Swarup Damodara's heart melted in compassion. And he said, you know, look, what you need to do is associate with devotees, and as we've talked about with the section of the Bhagavatam, this was the problem with Sobri Muni and the similar problem with Judd Barrett. Is that they remove themselves from the association of devotees. You know, Judd Barrett Prabhupada says in the fifth canto, he didn't consult with anybody. He didn't consult with his guru. He was a Pulaha Ashram, but I think it was Pulaha Ashram. But he didn't consult with Puha Muni. He just made his own decision. Well, I just think I'm going to take this deer in as a pet, you know. And Sobri Muni didn't consult with anyone. You know, I'm going to take on these fishes under my protection. He didn't ask, is that a very good policy? So Sarvadamodara says to this Bengali Brahmana, you have to work under the association of the devotees. You have to learn from the devotees what is Siddhanta and what is Rasa. And we're sorry to say this, but we see practically that those who separate themselves from the association of devotees often, not always perhaps, but often end up in some kind of a deviation. We just have to speak frankly. I mean, I've seen some exceptions, but generally speaking, those who remove themselves from the association of devotees and are no longer subjecting themselves to being corrected, even when sometimes being corrected is painful. It's not always pleasant for the false ego to be corrected. But if we're not willing to do that, we can end up in a deviation in the name of good intentions. And then Swarup Damodar does something absolutely beautiful. It's a very long section, so I don't have time to read it. But I would really recommend, if you want to go deeper into this, again, it's in Antralila, chapter 5, altogether from text 91 to 154, where Swarup Damodar then starts saying that the goddess Sarasvati will take critical, offensive words and turn them around to be praised. He gives an example of Indra, where Indra was criticizing Krishna as this talkative young boy, and that Mother Sarasvati turned it around to be a praise of Krishna. He gave the example of Shishupal, who was criticizing Krishna as the lowest among men, and Mother Sarasvati reinterpreted his words to mean that he was the highest among men. So Swarup Damodar then, now you might ask, why didn't Swarup Damodar do this in the first place? Why didn't Swarup Damodar, because there were these two alternate meanings of the Brahmana's verse, one that was offensive and one that was glorification, why didn't Swarup Damodar from the very beginning, like all the other devotees, say, wow, what wonderful glorification? It means this and this and this. Because remember, he first asked the Brahmana, what do you mean? What do you understand by what you said? Just like Srila Prabhupada says, only the author understands what he means by what he writes. This is, we'll speak very frankly, one problem with trying to edit someone's books after they're no longer physically present to tell you what they mean. If you can't ask the person, what do you mean? What was your intention? You know, I've heard personally from some of the editors, we're trying not to go back necessarily to Prabhupada's original words, which in the vast majority of cases are not existent, but we're trying to go back to Prabhupada's intentions. But how in the world do you know somebody's intentions unless you can ask them? So Swarup Damodar did not guess. I mean, he already had sort of kind of guessed in his reluctance to hear this drama in the first place. But even then, what are your intentions? What did you mean? And only then, when he said, you know, what you meant was offensive. But you could have meant this. It could have meant this. It could have been glorious. What a wonderful thing to do for another living being. What a wonderful thing to do. That after smashing him and bashing him and tearing him to smithereens verbally, I mean, really, like, pulverized. He quoted all these verses from the Shastra to show how he was wrong. That's painful. I've had people do that to me publicly. I'll tell you, it's painful. If you think, you know, you're a great scholar and you're a great poet and you put up something wonderful that you spent years on and somebody else comes and says, you're wrong. Here's the Shastra to show you're wrong. Your ego is like writhing in agony, you know, like Kaliya under Krishna's feet. Where you, you know, you just start vomiting poison and you feel like you can't breathe anymore. And then after that, Swarup Damodar revived him with nectar. Yes, actually what you've written can be understood very nicely. And this is how we should deal with people, with ourselves as well. to try to pick up from people what are their good intentions. Somewhere to find, like Prabhupada says, we find a spark and we fan it, we fan it, we fan it, we fan it. Conditioned soul by definition means that we're going to be illusioned and make mistakes and cheat. That's what it means. But to find out somebody's good intentions. And maybe we have to correct them if we're the guru or the teacher or the parent or the temple president or something. Not that we should go around correcting everybody. So Damodar was correcting this Brahmana because that was his job. That was his service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even if we have to correct them, find some way that we can move what they're doing, even if it's wrong. How we can move it and transform it to become something good. If somebody could have gone to Sobri Muni and said, it's very good that you're compassionate, now here's the right way to be compassionate. That's what Krishna did to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. You want to be compassionate. You want to be sinless. You want to be happy. That's good. Now here's the right way. So not just to condemn people and smash people and bash people and pulverize them. Not just to condemn people, but to say, okay, here's the good thing. Here's what you're looking for. Here's the intention. Take it and here's how you can use it for Krishna. Here's how you can engage this good intention in service. And for ourselves, we should be very, very careful that the way to hell is paved with good intentions. That having good intentions isn't enough. We need association of devotees, we need guidance from the Shastra, we need guidance from Guru, and we should be willing ourselves to be corrected, even though it's painful to be corrected, and willing to be put back on the right track. About 5 minutes? Yes, Maharaj. Now you're going to correct me and smash me.
No, I'm not going to correct you. You mentioned just briefly about the editing or re-editing of Srila Prabhupada's books.
Yes.
And I just read something that Seth Rumar said about the Leelamrita.
Yes.
That he said, don't, after I leave, don't do any editing.
Yes. Yes.
And so, what should we do about it?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I find it interesting that Seth Rumar is saying, don't change Leelamrita after I leave. Even now he's saying, don't change it now. We've gone through two edits and don't change it anymore. And as far as I know, the stance of the DBT is to respect that. Even though there are sections of Leelamrita where other devotees who were present at the time say are incorrect, are historically incorrect. And even there's one particular thing we're looking at. The GBC's asked us on the Shastric Advisory Council to write about the Brahma Gayatri Mantra. And so particularly we're looking at Prabhupada's first time he gave the initiations of the Brahma Gayatri. And if you look at the transcripts of the lectures, that probably have transcripts of those lectures, not the ones for Chutananda and Kirtananda, but the ones in Boston, there were three of them. And then we have still with us Jadarani, Shamarani, and Govindadasi, and their accounts. And those differ from what's in the Leelamrita, and the way that they differ is significant because the account in the Leelamrita gives, practically explicit, that Srila Prabhupada gave the Gayatri mantras to women simply because the women were harassing him. And that's not historically factual according to the people who were there and according to the transcripts that we have. And this erroneous historical account has become the fuel for people to take certain policies in regard to women in our movement. So they're adopting certain policies based on an erroneous historical account, and yet Satsukha Maharaj refuses to have that account changed in the book. But out of respect for the author, the BBT is saying, okay, we'll respect you and not change this. So I just find it rather interesting that if a publisher is going to respect the will of the author to leave something as they've written it, even if there's evidence that it's historically incorrect, And even if its incorrectness is causing a disturbance in the ISKCON society, then how much more should we leave things that are the Shastra of our founder Acharya? You know, can we not extend the respect to one of our members, that same level of respect to our founder? So that's my take on it, and I'm sure I'll be roasted for this by somebody.
So what should we do?
What should we do?
As individual devotees, not...
As individual devotees, we can certainly contact the trustees on the BBT and ask them that their review board, the review panel of the RRP, should really do this in-depth research into Srila Prabhupada's instructions and to ensure that everything is looked at by guidelines that are developed according to Srila Prabhupada's instructions, which is the direction they're starting to go in now. Thank you, Krishna. And to have that be very transparent.
What about the etiquette that once the author passes away, you don't change his words?
Well, that
like in Shakespeare, we don't change his words.
Well, the general behavior in our sampradaya and in all the sampradayas is after the passing of an acharya, you can write commentary on their works.
Yeah.
Now, we can do editing changes to Srila Prabhupada's books after his passing that he specifically asked to do. But therefore, we need to know Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And rather than just doing things on an ad hoc basis, which is how it's been done since 1978, to come up with a set of guidelines that are firmly rooted in Srila Prabhupada's instructions. That's something that's very unambiguous and very explicit. And devotees can write the BBT and just ask for that. Say, that's what we want from this panel, and this is what we want in transparency to make sure that any work on Prabhupada's books is absolutely totally according to Srila Prabhupada's instructions as he's... No, but he did give instructions in June or July of 1977 of some things that he did want to have fixed before the books were printed again. So, although no one specifically asked, well, does that mean after you leave, unfortunately?
Those are proofreads.
Yeah. And there were also some specific things.